Thank you, Jeannie. Appreciate that. Truly, the Lord is great. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, it is good to have everybody in our service today. We are certainly glad that you are here with us. And so God bless you, and I hope you leave this service today blessed as a result of being here. Would you stand with me, if you would, please, as we read from the Scripture together this morning? If you would, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse number 18. We'll read one verse together. John, chapter 3, and verse number 18. The title of my message today, Destiny is a Choice. Destiny is a Choice. Read together, follow along with me, if you would, in the Scripture. Notice what John writes. He writes that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Pray with me if you would please. Heavenly Father, as we consider the Word of God this morning, I pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would set me aside, that he might speak through me today to the hearts and lives of people that are here this morning. First of all, to anybody who might not know your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray today, dear God, that they would receive a clear presentation of the gospel. Lord, that they would not only hear, but they would receive what they hear. And dear God, that they would invite Jesus Christ into their heart to forgive them of their sins and to save their soul and to take them into heaven when they die. For those of us who are believers who know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that we might be reminded of the great gift that we are given, the gift of salvation through grace. Dear God, that we would understand today that we have a responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about how we got saved and how we trusted your Son as our Lord and Savior. Help us today. Forgive us of our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. Be seated if you would please. Destiny this morning is a choice. There's one of two choices. I hope you'll choose Jesus. I hope that you will choose the way, the truth, and the life. I hope that you will choose heaven today. There's only two places we're going to wind up. One is going to be heaven. The other one is going to be hell and eternal torment. And so we must understand today that destiny, salvation, is a choice. No one will ever force you to become a Christian. Salvation comes as a result of your free will. You are a free moral agent this morning to choose your own destiny. And so my prayer today is that you choose heaven. My prayer today is that you will invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart if you're not born again of the Spirit of God and join the family of God as we prepare to move to heaven one of these days. And so as we look at this particular verse of Scripture, I would like for us to look in depth at what John is talking about. First of all, I want to identify the individual involved in this verse. Notice how he starts. He says, "He that." He that. Now, I want you to understand that that personal pronoun there is generic. It doesn't just mean that only men will go to heaven. I know one evangelist who was preaching one Sunday morning, and after he got done preaching from the Word of God, and there was results at the altar, and so he wanted to promote the evening service, and he said, "I want to prove to you tonight from Scripture that only men will go to heaven. There will be no women in heaven." And so many people came that evening because they wanted to hear what the evangelist had to say about women not going to heaven. And he used the reference in the book of Revelation where John says that there will be silence in heaven for a period of 30 minutes. Now take that from, take that as you will this morning. I know that my wife, there's times when she's silent for over 30 minutes. Usually it's because she's mad at me. So I think there will be women in heaven. Just want you to understand that and know that this morning. The reference here uses the male gender, but really it's generic. It means mankind. He that. That means anyone. Anyone can go to heaven provided they choose correctly. And so as my reference, I want to use the book of Romans this morning as a parallel in our study this morning. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. We see from the 13th verse there of the 10th chapter, as Paul writes, he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so as we look here this morning at the Gospel of John, really we could replace the word "he" with the word "whosoever." Because anyone, male, female, adult, child, aged person, There is no distinction. Everyone can be saved. But the reality is many will not. Many will not accept what the Word of God says. And so it's important as we look at this morning that we understand what it is that Scripture says. I'm not going to give opinion to you this morning because, quite frankly, my opinion in comparison to eternity does not matter. It's not my opinion that I'm going to give you this morning, but it is thus saith the Word of God. It is what God's Word says that will determine your destiny. And so it is important this morning that we don't just hear words that people say, but we hear the Word of God, because that is the one we will stand before in judgment one of these days, will be Jesus Himself, the living Word. And so we have to understand the individual involved this morning is anyone, anybody, whosoever. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Aren't you glad that it doesn't say in the Scripture that Americans will be in heaven only? Aren't you glad that it doesn't say that only Asians will be in heaven? Aren't you glad that it doesn't say in the Scripture that only Jews will be in heaven? Now, to be sure, the gospel went first to the Jews. That was Jesus' people. He went first with the gospel to the Jews, but He turned to the Gentiles. And we must understand that. Paul, first, when he would go to a community to start a church, would first go to the synagogue, because his heart's desire was to win the Jewish people to Jesus, that they might embrace Jesus Christ as their Messiah, that they might understand that He alone was the way of salvation. But more often than not, they would reject His message. They would stone Him. They would leave Him for dead. They would reject what He has to say. And so we must understand that the individual involved is anyone this morning. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can go to heaven, provided they make the right choice. I hope today you will make the right choice. The second thing I want you to see in this verse of Scripture this morning is the faith that is required. The faith that is required. Notice what it says there, verse number 18. He that was the first portion. That is the individual who calls upon the name of the Lord. He that believeth on Him. Believeth on Him. I want to take just that much at this point. He that believeth on Him. Who is the Him? The Him is Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. He that, anyone that will believe on Him. Go with me to another familiar Scripture this morning, if you would please, also written by the Apostle Paul. You'll find it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and verse number 9. We will see that this idea is corroborated also by the Apostle Paul, as he says in verse number 8 of chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." For by grace are ye saved through faith. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. God is giving us something we do not deserve. God wants us to have experience His grace. It is a gift. In fact, if you'll follow the logic of the verse, you'll see it. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. That not of yourselves, it, grace, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reality is we'll never stand in the presence of the Lord and boast and brag about what we have done. We will humbly, I believe, bow before His feet and thank Him for the price that He paid on the cross of Calvary. Because without God's grace, none of us can go to heaven. So the reality is, he that, anyone who will call upon him. Anyone that will believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something else I want you to see about this particular verse. Notice in verse number 18 that it does not say, believeth in him. But rather it says, he that believeth on him. What is the difference in believing in Jesus and believing on Jesus? I want to explain that this morning because we see a distinction here between verse number 16 and verse number 18. Let's look at the verse number 16. You're all familiar with it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean to believe in Jesus? To believe in Jesus is present tense. It is written in the present. In other words, this verse is ever present. Now, as a believer, I believed on Jesus, past tense, May 9th, 1965. I believed on Jesus, past tense, right here in this building, 1965. This auditorium had just been built in the spring of 1965. The lower level of the Sunday school build had been built at that time. That's all that existed in the spring of 1965. Brand new, spanking brand new building. The church moved into it from our location at Eubank in Claremont. I began to visit this ministry in 1963 over at the old location. During that time, they were raising funds so that they could build this particular building. Back in those days, this platform was not as high as it is today. It was only as high as the first two steps. And then this portion was lower also, and so it was just straight across like this. It wasn't built, extended out like it is today. I was sitting back there about that third post back there. When the invitation was given, I responded because God had been dealing with my heart, and I realized that I was a sinner, and I left my place where I was, right over there by Glenna Groves, where she is at this particular time. There were pews at that time. They faced straight. It was a different configuration. I left that place. I came down this side over here, and I kneeled probably somewhere right about here on the lower level, and I invited Jesus Christ to come in to my heart. I acknowledged to God the Father that I was a sinner, and I believed that Jesus Christ was my only hope of salvation, and I confessed him as Lord and Savior, May 9th, 1965. How do you say, how can you remember that? It was Mother's Day, 1965. I remember my mother was jumping up and down. She was thrilled because her youngest baby had received Jesus and invited Jesus Christ into his heart. That day, as I look back, past tense, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That moment. Everyone in this room who says that they're born again should be able to recall. Now, I'm not saying that you can recall just like I did the exact date. I'm not saying that that's necessary. But I am saying this. Salvation is such a monumental experience. You should remember it happening. You should have a vivid memory of the fact that you gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, and you felt that burden of your sin lifted that moment that you invited Jesus Christ into your heart. You should remember that. There's things in your life you remember. You remember the day you got married, or you better. Because you got a wife who's going to remind you exactly where you were when you got married. And so there's certain things in life that you remember, and salvation is one of those. And so you should, in your testimony, have a clear-cut presentation of when and where you were when you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. If your testimony of consist is one day you just got up and, man, I mean, you just got up out of bed and the sky was blue and the birds were chirping and relating that to your salvation, friend, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. There is more to it than that, and rather than just having a wonderful day. In my life, I've had a number of wonderful days, but I've only had one salvation experience. It was the day that I invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I asked for forgiveness of my sins, and Jesus came into my heart. So on May 9th, 1965, 53 plus years ago, I walked the aisle and I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. That day I believed on Him, past tense, as I look back over these last 53 years, past tense. Now, let's go back to verse number 16 so that we have a clear understanding, because we have to understand it is written in the presence. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that tells me? That tells me that today, May, we're not in May anymore, we're in August. It's May. It's August the 5th, 2018. We are in the present moment, and Jesus Christ is still in the soul-saving business. People can get saved today just like they could have many, many years ago. Now, do I believe that there's as many people getting saved today as there was in the 60s and 70s? Possibly not. Because we have to understand the hardness of men's hearts. Because we are living in a day when men have hard hearts. But I am telling you, Jesus can save just as well today in this moment as He did 53 years ago when I invited Him to come into my heart. That is in the moment. That is in the presence. And if you will acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner before a holy God, and you will believe that Jesus Christ is your only hope. Jesus is not a way to heaven this morning. He is the only way. He is not interested in being a trinket God. You better get that understood. He is not to be added to your God collection. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the only hope of the world. And so we have to understand that. So we acknowledge that our hellbound condition, we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ will save us if we will just simply ask Him by faith, and then we confess Him as Lord and Savior, and He will do that. So we understand this morning that there is a distinction in believing in Jesus, that is the present, and there is a distinction of believing on Jesus, and that is a past experience. And every person who has that past, every person who can look back to that time in their life when they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they are secure in Christ. Once saved, always saved. Now, I started out by saying that we are free moral agents. We can choose either to receive Christ or we can choose to reject Christ. And the reality is, if we choose Christ, we get heaven. If we reject Christ, we get hell and torment forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Now, let's move on. We've talked about the individual, anyone. We've talked about the faith required that believes on Him. And then we want to talk about the promise in this verse that is stated. We see it here. Notice what it says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He, anyone that believeth on Him, past, is not condemned. Aren't you grateful for that today? I want you to see the reality of it here. If you would please go to Romans, if you would please, chapter number 8. This should excite you this morning. This should thrill your soul. This should thrill your heart. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you glad of that this morning? There's not some condemnation. There is absolutely no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get there? We get there by faith. We don't get there by works. We don't get there by trying to earn it. We get there simply by receiving the grace of Almighty God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? That means we're also talking about the present and the past. The present. When I got saved, I was walking my own way. I was doing my own thing. Maybe you were the same way. Maybe you were trying to work your way to heaven. Maybe you had it in your eyes, your head. You know, I heard these teachings when I was young, when I was a young boy, that, you know, it's like a balance, a scale. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you go to heaven. Did anybody ever hear that as they were growing up? You've heard that teaching? If your good works outweigh your bad works, you go to heaven. If your bad works outweigh your good works, you go to the bad place. The reality is that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation is not by works at all, but it rather is by faith. By faith. Now, as a boy growing up, I knew I'd heard about Jesus. I'd been to the Catholic Church and I'd seen him hanging on the cross. And I said, I don't want to get in that kind of trouble. For sure. I don't want to do that. But then I learned later that Jesus isn't on the cross. That's past tense. Jesus was taken off of the cross, and he was put in the grave, and he was there 3 days, and he rose from the dead. So Jesus isn't on the cross this morning. He has ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is waiting for you. He is waiting for me. And like Stephen, if ever we are martyred for the cause of Christ, we can expect that we can look up to heaven and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father and welcoming us home. Why? Because Jesus is our advocate. He is our Savior. He is looking forward to that day when we come home. That's why the Scripture says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Now the reality is, you're either a saint or you ain't. One of the two. It all comes down to destiny. It all comes down to the choice that you make while you're here on this earth. And it is imperative that you choose correctly, that you choose Jesus, because He is your only hope. He is the only way that you and I can get to heaven. Thank God for that. So as we look at the Scripture this morning, we realize the reality that there is a promise that is stated, that if you're in Christ, you are not condemned. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will never suffer condemnation of my sin. I don't have to go to hell because Jesus did it for me. He took my place. He took my punishment upon Himself upon the cross. He gave His blood, every single drop of it, so that you and I might have salvation. And as I look to Him in faith, I've invited Him to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and to save my soul. And from that moment, there is no condemnation. Why? Because after, you see, before conversion, I was walking in the flesh. After conversion, I'm walking in the Spirit. The only way you can walk in the Spirit is to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God. Because you have to understand, the moment that I invited Jesus Christ into my heart, the Holy Spirit came to abide within my heart. And now I'm no longer walking in the flesh. I am walking in the Spirit. I am a spiritual being at the moment of conversion. I have become a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. And so have you, if you've invited Jesus into your heart. We are brand new creation. We are a brand new creature. Now, does that mean that from the moment that we're saved, that we never make a mistake? I wish that were true, but it's not. It just isn't. Because you know what? This flesh didn't get saved. but I got a brand new heart. God said in His Word, He wants to give us a new heart. Now I've got a brand new heart. Now I have new desires. Now I have desires to see the lost saved. I was never concerned about the lost before I got saved. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I cared about me. I didn't care about anybody else. I just cared about me and mine. But now I have a new heart. Jesus is working in my heart, in my life. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have a brand new heart? If you don't, God wants to give you a brand new heart. He wants to come into your heart and into your life and save your soul and take you to heaven one of these days to be with Him. Oh, glory to God. So, anyone who will simply believe on Jesus by faith is not condemned this morning. But now there's a warning. There's a warning. You ever notice in commercials on television that there's usually disclaimers? In the commercial, they tell you all the stuff that's good that's going to happen. And then in the very finest of smallest of prints that you can't read with a magnifying glass, they tell you what they ain't going to do. Well, this is similar. It's similar. There's a warning. Listen to the warning. He that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, if you're outside of Jesus Christ today, you're not going to be condemned. You are condemned. You are already condemned. Go with me once again, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, and let's see how this is possible that we are, when we're outside of Christ, how it is that we can already be condemned. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death is the product of sin. And we received our father, our physical father, we received his nature. Wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, entered into the world, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. And here is really what rubs people the wrong way. People, many times, do not want to admit that they are a sinner. Friend, you were born a sinner. Nobody had to teach me as a child to do wrong. Reason being, I had a sinful nature. Nobody had to train me to do bad things. Nobody had to train you to do bad things. You and your sister, you're in the kitchen. The cookie jar gets broken. Mother comes into the kitchen. She says, "Who did that?" You got fingers pointing every which direction. Why? I didn't do that. I am amazed at the nature, our fallen nature. And if you really want to see it in action, work with teenagers. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And teenagers, I don't mean to pick on you, but I'm telling you, I've watched teens do things and confront them about it. And so I didn't do that. That wasn't me. I watched them do it a minute before. Me? I didn't do that. I would never do that. What is it about us that we do not want to confess our sin? David, who I believe was a believer. I believe he was a believer because God said in His Word that David was a man after his own heart. But there came a point and a time in David's life when he sinned. He sinned. He committed adultery. And then he committed murder to cover up the adultery. And he thought nobody knew about it. At least nobody who would cause problems. And God spoke to a prophet and said, Nathan, you go speak to the king. And Nathan goes over there and he tells David a story about a man who had a lot of sheep. And he was going to give a sacrifice, but he wouldn't take from his own, but he took from a neighbor who only had one. And David said, not on my watch. That man's going to pay fourfold for his sin. And Nathan said, I'm glad you said that, David, because thou art the man. Thou art the man. What is it about us that we do not want to confess our sin? You see why God requires repentance? Friend, you're not going to be condemned if you're lost today. You already are. And the reality is, if you put salvation off too long, you will stand before God in judgment. The moment you die, you'll wake up in hell. And then one day, you'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But at this point, he'll be the judge of judges, the judge of all the universe. And you'll hear these words, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Why? Because you would not confess to the Lord your sinful condition. How sad. How sad. Now, he that believeth not is condemned already. But listen to the rest of it. Listen to the reason. Let's go back, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He says we're condemned already because he, once again generic, anyone, hath not believed, past tense, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why we'll be condemned. Because we have not accepted the free gift of salvation. We have not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How sad, how tragic. Go with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Matthew as we close this out, please, if you would. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. I want you to see this. Matthew, chapter number 16, and I'm going to begin to read in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Now notice what Jesus follows up with. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? First he asked the question, who do others say? They responded. He says, I want to make this more personal. Whom do you say that I am? That is the question that Jesus is asking this congregation this morning. Whom do you say that Jesus is? He makes it personal. One-on-one. Notice the response. Simon Peter answers, and he saith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that this morning? Is Jesus your Christ? Is he your Messiah? Is he your hope today? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you acknowledged before a holy God that you are a sinner, hopelessly lost, on your way to a burning hell? Have you believed in your heart that if you would call upon the name of Jesus Christ, that he would forgive you of your sins and save your soul? You first of all have to acknowledge, you must believe that Jesus is the only way, and then you must confess him as your Lord and Savior. Confess him. There is no other. Muhammad cannot save me today. Buddha cannot save me today. Hare Krishna cannot save me today. Sun Young Moon cannot save me today. Jim Jones cannot save me today. And I'm not talking about our Jim Jones. I'm talking about the false prophet Jim Jones. Only one. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the only hope. He is the only one who can save us. And if we will just in simple childlike faith come to him this morning, invite him to come into our hearts, acknowledge that we're lost, believe that Jesus is your hope, and confess your sin to him, he will forgive you of your sin. He will cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness, past, present, and future. You see, the very moment that I invited Jesus Christ into my heart, he forgave me of every sin I would ever commit, past, present, and future. He is my Savior. He became my Savior 53 years ago, right here in this building, and he is still my Savior today. He is still my hope of eternal life. He is the only one to whom we can look, Jesus and only Jesus. Let me ask you today, do you know him? Do you know him? I didn't ask you if you knew about him. Do you know him? As a 12-year-old, I knew about him. But as I was about to turn 15 years old, I knew him because I invited him into my heart. And I've been saved eternally ever since. If I die today, heaven is my home. I have no regrets, except that I wish I could have done more. Except that maybe I let some things get in the way of my service to my Lord. Those regrets I have, but I've never regretted trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, there's people in this room today who have a choice to make. They can either choose Jesus, or they can choose to remain the same, trusting their own good works or good life. Oh, how tragic. Lord, I don't know how to make it any clearer today. You are their only hope. They're either saved or lost today, but they can be saved by making the right choice, by acknowledging their sin before you, their sinful condition, by believing that Jesus is their hope, and by confessing him as Lord today. Help anyone who has not made that decision to come to this altar today and to make public their profession of faith that I am trusting Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. Not anything else, just Jesus. In the quietness of this moment, as we have a verse of invitation, I just want to ask you a question personally today. Do you know him? Have you invited him into your heart? If you have not, we have counselors at the altar who ready and willing to take the word of God and to show you how you can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The invitation is yours. What will you do with it today? Lost person, I beg you to come to Jesus. Unchurched Christian, I invite you to choose Berean today as your church home. We'll be happy to counsel with you about becoming part of this ministry. Whatever your need, if it's salvation, if it's baptism or church membership, whatever it is, we'll be happy to counsel with you. We will be happy to show you what you need to know. Will you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and nobody looking around? In the quietness of this moment as the Holy Spirit deals with hearts, what is your decision today? Are you going to receive Jesus? Are you going to invite him to be your Savior? Oh, I pray that you do. I pray that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you accept him as Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's